Good morning. Let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, that's good. Just to see how awake you are today. Let's pray and just look into the scriptures. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can have access to your word. We pray that the words of my mouth, O God, in the meditation of our hearts will be pleasing and then also acceptable in your sight. And so, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At 12:30 today, do you realize we are going to make a lot of decisions, particularly when you are going for lunch? And I was looking at us, right? Maybe some of you already started thinking about lunch, right, when I'm preaching here. And, you know, I was looking at a study that was done by Cornell University. They say almost each day, right, according to the study, an average person is making 226 decisions each day, you know, just on food alone. Let me look at the numbers. You know, just on food alone, they say we are just thinking. Maybe we are making a choice. You know, we are pondering where to eat. You know, we're looking at deals, right? What's the deal for today? Buy one, get one free, BOGO or whatever it is, right? And so 226 choices or decisions that we are making, or even thinking through about what to eat today, right? And the old study also shows that, you know, each and every adult is making 35,000 conscious decisions each day. Can you imagine? Today, when you got up, you were telling yourself, can I extend my sleeve for another 10 minutes? That's another decision, right? Do I apply a bit more extra soap when I'm in the washroom? So it might look minute, but each and every moment of our lives, we are making decisions. So 35,000, can you imagine? Sometimes we think, you know, these are the few decisions I have to make in my life. Even coming here, you made a decision whether to come, right? Whether should I take the highway or the other route to come to church? Should I be dressing this or should I be wearing this? Should I, you know, these are the things we decide. We are deciding and deciding and deciding. A child makes around 3,000 decisions each day. I can imagine. So that's the kind of decisions that we make each and every moment of our life. And so life is full of decisions, right? Life is full of decisions. In our journey of life, we are making decisions and decisions. And I believe all of us want to make good decisions. Am I right? And you want to make the right decision, right? You want to go to the right restaurant and say, it was worth every single cent I'm spending, right? And you want to make the right decision when you wear your clothes, because when you come, someone says, oh, you look nice. Why, you feel I made the right decision by wearing, right? And so what's happening? We want to be recognized. We want to be acknowledged. We want to make the right decisions, good decisions. And many times as Christians, we want to make the godly decisions because those are the best ones, right? We want to make, and I believe God also wants us to make right, good, and even godly decisions. That's the way I look at God's word. But sometimes in our life, what happens, you know, every decision that we make in our life, right, it leads us to something else. There's always a ripple effect in our life. If I make a decision, for example, when you go to a doctor, the doctor says, you know, try to avoid this. Right? And if you decide not to listen, what happens? Your cholesterol goes up. Right? Your diabetes increases. Your pressure goes up. And the doctor says, if you, because what's happening, if I decide, right, and to do certain things, right? It is always reflected or results in something because I've decided. And so the passage today, it's a very interesting passage, right? Just to give you a background of this particular passage, in Acts chapter 27, it's a long passage, and you'll realize there's a lot of words to be read, you know, pronunciation can be a bit difficult too. The entire passage is a passage about Paul. So God wanted Paul to go to face Caesar because of the heresy, because Paul was seen as a person with different views, which was not acceptable in those society. And so Paul was an old man, probably he was 65 years old and above. And so it's going to be a difficult journey for Paul. So what's happening here, just to give you a background, you know, Paul was accompanied by this centurion, right? An army commander. So he was bringing Paul and quite a number of other people along with him. There were around 200 old people on board, and they were traveling. If you look at the passage very carefully, 5 onwards, you know, the ship is going here, and then, you know, they are going there. They have difficult time because the wind was too strong, you know. Unlike today, we know the weather. Immediately we can ask Google, what's the weather in Markham? Google tells you, right? What's the weather in Singapore? It will tell you. You know, it will tell you what's going to happen. Almost like every minute, you know what's the weather. Unlike those days, you can't. You look at the sun, right? You look at the clouds. Oh, it's going to rain today, right? When you see the wind blowing, you think, oh, this is going to be monsoon wind. And that's the way people looked around. And they tell themselves, no, this is going to be... So it was more an assumption or prediction. That was the time they were in. And so they were just moving along. And if you realize, you know, their journey was not so smooth. The entire passage talks about their journey. Sometimes it's a bit boring to read, you know. They went here, and then they need to take a break. And they went there. Things were not so good. And so they're just traveling and traveling and traveling. When I look at this particular passage, you know, I realize sometimes in our journey of life, we do have different trials that we face, right? We have different situations that actually comes across to our life. You know why? Because of the decisions that we make. As I said, you know, what I decide today affects tomorrow. What I decide today about my career, right, in 10 years down the road, I'll know. And so what we decide about our lives, about the things that we need to be found doing, it always have an impact in our future. And so if it's a good journey in those days, what happens? It takes around 6 to 7 months. If it's 6 to 7 months, right, it's considered a smooth journey. But if it takes more than 7 months, sometimes it can go to a 10 months. So it's going to be a rough journey because the sea can be rough. So in those days, what happened, I think they know when to go, whether it's winter or spring and all that. They are very conscious of the seasons because the seasons, you know, begins to tell them whether the weather will be good or not. So our decision is going to affect our lives. So when I look at this particular passage, there were certain decisions, you know, they were making. There were certain trials, you know, they came across. One of the first things when I look at this particular passage, you know, the trials that we face, right? Because of the decisions that we have made in our lives. It was a difficult journey. In verse 7, it says, we made slow headway, right? For many days, and yet difficulty arriving in Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmone, right? So it was a difficult journey. In other words, to just give you a picture, there were contrary winds that was coming against them. Can you imagine? In our Christian life, what is happening, you know, when we make different choices, different decisions, or we take different routes in our life, what happens? You know, there becomes contrary winds. So when you look at it very carefully, it means, right, they can't move on. It was difficult for them to move on. Because whatever they expected, it was not just working the way they wanted. Whatever they expected, they were going this way, and they were expecting, you know, if I take this route, it is going to be a smooth journey, but it was not. Have you realized, even in our Christian life, right, we think, oh, maybe this is the route I should take. This is the way I should go. This is the career I should be found choosing, or even taking my courses. What happens? Then you realize it's becoming difficult. It's not helping me. It's not supporting me. That was happening here. And secondly, it was not only a difficult journey, right? And sometimes, many times in our decisions or the choices that we make, if it's not right choices, it can be a dangerous journey. Because what is happening, right? Much time was lost because when you look at verse 9, It says the Day of Atonement, right? It means it was winter season. In those days, during the winter season, you know, the weather changes, the climate changes. It can be very unpredictable. And that's why the writer, you know, Luke is speaking about the Feast of Atonement or the Day of Atonement. It is winter, so the winds begins to change during that time. So it will come just facing the wind, facing the ship. In other words, can you imagine you're driving and something is just hitting you on your face? It becomes too difficult for you to move, to go on, right? I remember my wife and I, when we were traveling in New Zealand, we rented a car and we were driving. There was a time I was really struggling, because it's not just a wind, it's some kind of clouds, you know, like, you know, it just coming and hitting us. And I thought, you know, I don't know what to do, whether to slow down. I can't see. I do not know what's happening in front and also at the back. You know, that's the kind of thing. Much time had been lost, you know, because, you know, it is becoming dangerous because it is unpredictable kind of wind. Have you realized sometimes, right, because you make the right decisions and you think that these are the decisions that I should make, then you realize, you know, it's very unpredictable. I didn't know that this is going to hit me hard. I didn't know that it's going to come and hit me on my face, right? It's becoming dangerous. I can't move on. I can't move on. You know why? Because the kind of choices that we make in life, the kinds of decisions that we, you know, we take in our life. If you look further, and I was looking at the journey very carefully, it was also a damaging journey. What was happening? Paul was also talking to the people there, you know, and Paul says, you know, I perceived, right? And so Paul, the word perceived in the Greek text doesn't mean, you know, I just have an idea. It was revealed to me. That's the way in the Greek text. And so Paul is speaking, and then he realized, man, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our lives also. So it was a damaging journey, right? What's happening? It's damaging our lives. It's damaging the cargo, and it's also damage the lives that's around us. In other words, the people, our families, and even our community. Have you realized your problem many a times becomes your family issue, it becomes your problem too? You cannot say, no, it's my problem. It affects a lot of things. It affects your life. It affects people around you. It affects the church. It affects the society. That's the way. And so Paul is telling them, it is going to be a, you know, dangerous journey, and going to be a damaging one, because it damages lives. Right? So when I look at it, I realize it's going to damage the future. You know, these are the trials that we face because of the choices that we make, my friend. And why? What was happening here? And so it is important for us to ask ourselves, when you look at this particular text, you know, when we are in situations of this kind, what do you do? Can you imagine placing yourself in a situation like this? You made a wrong choice. What do you do? Right? I thought this is the right way to go. What do you do? I didn't know it is going to come against me. I didn't know it's going to affect my life. Right? It's going to affect my family. Right? You know, I thought it's going to be a smooth journey. What do you do? You know, very interesting the way, when you look at the text, it looks like a story, but in the particular story, you know, that's happening, the true event, we draw spiritual lessons from this particular event. Firstly, when you look at it, the test that we take, firstly, you know, have you realized, what do you do in a situation like this? So, in verse 9, towards the end of verse 9, Paul is warning them. He's saying, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and to our lives also. And so Paul is warning them. But what is happening? The centurion, Right? The great commander of, he's saying, instead of listening to what Paul said, he followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. What does it mean? Right? So what? You know, what do you do when you are in a situation of this kind? Right? Here you are hearing a voice of an old man, an inexperienced man. He is not a sailor. Paul was not a sailor at all. He's just a scholar. He knows his books. He knows his laws. That's all. He doesn't know the laws of nature. The pilot is much more experienced. He knows quite a lot of stuff. That's his area of focus. What do you do? In a normal situation, we lean on, right? Because that's the way the world is going. You know, I think the world, let's follow the patterns of the world kind of a thing, because the majority are doing it. You know, and let me tell you, when you are in a situation of this kind, it is a test of human reasoning. Where do you lean on to? Right? Do you lean on to a person who's spiritual? He doesn't know your field. Or maybe he knows your field. Do you know? Do you go to him? But the centurion did not take the advice of Paul, right? But he was just leaning on to the pilot. And some say he was the owner of the ship. And so, and some, when I look at it, you know, in a very spiritual way, you know, we are always seeking advice. Have you realized we're always seeking advice from people? But who are we seeking advice from? I'm not saying that you shouldn't seek advice from, you know, non-Christians of that nature, but where are we seeking advice from? Paul is an inexperienced sailor. He's not a sailor at all, right? But he was a godly person. He is looking everything in godly perspectives. Even his career, his journey, the choices that we make in life. Whereas the man, right, the pilot, is more of the world, I see. Right? That's the way the world, and majority of the people, right, tend to follow the world. And that's why, you know, when you read Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking about the narrow way and the broad way, right? It's follow the crowd is much more easier. Peer pressure is much more stronger. My friend said this is the best way to go, right? Why should I go and seek godly advice? Because the person might not know. Let me tell you, my friend, many a times when in a situation of this nature, we're always tempted to just lean on to the world, because that's the world and that's the way the world does if they're having difficulties or struggles in life. Paul was not the best person to seek, because he's not familiar. He doesn't know. He will always talk religious stuff. Probably he will only talk about prayer and have faith and all that kind of stuff. You know, why should I? And so what's happening? So in a situation of this, where do we lean on to? That's our test. Where do we seek advice, right? And so that's why it's important for us to have good friends, godly friends, people who love the Lord, who know what is right, what is good. Christian values are important, right, in every human reasoning that we have. Secondly, when I look at this particular, you know, the test, I also realize we have another test too, right, when we go for decisions or choices in life, right, and it was, remember Paul said, don't go, it's going to be dangerous, it's going to be a dangerous journey. And what was happening? It says, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, a couple of months they have to stay. And so what happened? The majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. There was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. So when you read that particular passage, you realize, you know, later there was much more greater storm that came then. When I look at it, you know, in a spiritual sense, what was happening, right? What was happening? Paul was telling them, my friends, it's going to be dangerous. But, you know, the majority decided, no, no, no. He, not only the pilot, you know, in the majority, for in this situation, the majority decided, and they went. It was a great storm that came approaching them. Why? Because you know why? The reason they wanted to go, because there were much more rewards. They realized it was not suitable, right? When you look at the text, the scholarship says, you know, they were looking for human comfort. Probably that place has a lot of good resorts, 5-star resorts, right? Nice place to have your food, good restaurants. We can spend 3 months of our summer there, right? It's going to be comforting, right? It's going to be joyful. And so let's go and let's take that route. And they were facing a storm. If you realize, many a times we do that too, right? We are faced, you know, sometimes what we do, you know, we look for human comfort. Is this, you know, if I do this, it's going to be comforting to me because it's going to give me all these perks and privileges and all that. I'm not against all that, my friend. But are we leaning on just for the rewards? You know, sometimes God allows certain things to happen in our life. But they want to be in a comfortable place, in an enjoyable place, right? They were looking for comfort, human comfort. They based their decisions on human comfort, you know, and it was disastrous. It was disastrous. It was not whether God was leading us, right? And what was happening? Why? Because the majority, right? The majority decided. Have you realized sometimes we say the majority is the way to go? I'm not against that idea, right? There are moments in our life, yes, the majorities might be right, but many a times it's not the majority, my friend. If you realize, looking at the scriptures very carefully, many a times it's not the majority, right? If you look at Numbers very carefully, what is happening? Moses, in Numbers 13, Moses is sending the spies, you know, to go and search the land, the promised land. Joshua and Caleb came back and saying, yes, this is our time. But the majority said, it's not our time. There are giants living there. We don't have the arms. We're not able. What was happening? The people listened to the voice of the majority. And so we need to be very careful. Right? They wanted to listen to the voice of the majority. Probably they wanted, you know, just to make people happy too, right? And so we need to be very careful when we do you know, decisions in our life. Because, and I know every moment in our life, there's always a pressure, right? We say peer pressure. Let me tell you, even adults also have pressure. It's not only peer pressure, right? Every stages of our life, we have different kinds of pressure because we want to be like the world. We want to just follow the crowd. It's easy because if others are all doing, then it should be the right thing to do in our life. And so that's our test. And that is some of the things that we tend to face, because when we have not made the right decisions, you know, what happens? We try to take the route that makes us happy. Lastly, let me finish with this. And before that, you know, how do you handle, if you read, I'm not going to go through this, verse 15, 17, 18, you know, when things were not going, what was happening, if you realize, they told themselves, you know, let nature take its course. If you read verse 15, right, they gave way to it. In other words, they did nothing. They can't do anything. Just made things to happen. Let nature take its course. Have you realized sometimes there are moments like that? You say, I do not know what to do. Only time will tell me. Sometimes we just sit idle because we think, you know, it's nature, and let nature take its course, right? If you read verse 17, right, they were trying to tie the rope together, the boat together with ropes, right? They were trying to patch up the problem, right? We tried to patch up, but nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. And not only that, if you read 18 and 19, they were throwing things away to lighten the ship, right? They were throwing furnitures. Can you imagine? They were treasures. They were just throwing it away, right? But nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. We think all these quick fixes is going to help us. It is not, my friend. If I do just some light adjustments to my life, things will work out. It might not work out. And many times it will not work out for us. And where are we leaning to? Is it just human comfort? Because I want to be comfortable. Or are we doing things because I want to listen to where God is leading us? Let me finish with this. The last passage, you know, in the truths that we learn from this particular passage. Look at the passage once again. In verse 20, it says, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved." It means that we are limited people. Have you ever realized that you and I are limited? That you and I are not capable of many things in our life. We are weak. We are sinful. But many a times we don't recognize, because we live in a world that says, you decide for yourself. You know the best. And you can do the impossible. The sky is the limit. They're wonderful words, my friend. But the thing is that we always need to realize there are many things that you and I cannot do, and we are limited because of who we are. We are just ordinary living being in this world. We want to be Superman, right? Or Superwoman. We need to realize that. Sometimes I believe God brings us to that kind of level to say, you know, you need to realize that you cannot do these things in your life. You need me. Sometimes God breaks us down, and they finally gave all hope of being saved. They knew that's the end. You know now what's happening? Now they start listening to Paul. If you realize, in my pastoral experience, I've seen many people, let me tell you, they will come to you at the 11th hour. They try every means. When nothing works out, they come and say, "I know Pastor Vincent and Florence Seymour, and I do not know what to do. You know, I think only God can help me." I've seen many people in my life. Right? They have tried everything possible because they think they can. But let me tell you, my friend, you cannot. We need God in our life. And so they realize, you know, there is no more hope. And now, the same centurion, the same majority, is starting to listen to Paul. Right? They started to listen to Paul. Can you imagine if they have listened to Paul at an earlier stage? Probably the text will be totally different. It will be a wonderful text. My sermon would have been different today because they were not listening to Paul's reasoning, to Paul's words of wisdom, to Paul's guidance, spiritual guidance. And now they were willing to listen to this man who's more than 65 years old. Who's going to be tried by Caesar. And so what is Paul saying? You know, Paul is a great person. He's talking about that God is sovereign. Here he said, you know, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail to Crete. Then you'd have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage." Can you imagine? That's the way Paul is saying, "Keep up your courage." You know, where did Paul get all this strength from? Even Paul was going through difficulties because of what these guys have decided. But, you know, and Paul says, "Last night an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me." He says, you know, can you imagine? What was encouraging Paul in this journey? Others were throwing things away. They were in panic, right? They thought that's the end of life. But Paul was also with them, but Paul had God's word. God's word was just encouraging them, and that's why he was able to encourage the people. Right? He could have given a fiery sermon, and say, let's do our last prayer and then be gone. But he's encouraging them with God's word. And he says, he says not only encouraging them with God's word, he says, God's presence is real because an angel of the Lord spoke to me and assured me. For a moment I was just thinking of the situation. People are just panicking, throwing things away, probably, making their last prayers. But I think Paul was so peaceful, even though it was not his decision. He knew his God is always there for him, right? And he's standing there as a testimony. He said, do not be afraid, and he says, and do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand trial before Caesar. In other words, Paul is saying, God has a purpose. God has a purpose, and God wants to fulfill the purpose. Dear friends, God has a purpose for our life, and God wants to fulfill that purpose in our life. But many a times, we want to go and fulfill our purpose, just minus God in all our purposes. And so Paul is assuring them, and then he's saying, and God has graciously given you lives, right? So keep up your courage, for I have faith in God. I think that's one of the key words here. I have faith in God, and it will happen just as he told me. I have faith in God. There are trials in our life that we face, right? We have been sincere. We have been honest before God. And because of what people have done, what happens, I think, we go through. But Paul says, I have faith in God. But the other people, what was happening? The trials were because of the wrong choices they made, the wrong decisions they were made. And they were just leaning on to human reasoning. And they were looking at their own personal comfort or rewards for their life. But I think it's important for us, right? Having faith in God, just trusting God, and just listening to God. As Paul said, you should have listened to me at an earlier stage. And so, my friend, today, do we have that faith in God? Right? You might say, I am going through, Pastor Vincent, I know I've made godly decisions, but I'm going through. Let me tell you, God's word will always constantly comfort you, will always feel his presence. And God will someday fulfill his purpose in your life. But if you have made the right choices, right, without godly advice, let me tell you, it can be disastrous. It can be damaging. It can be difficult. Only God is able to help you. Let me finish with this. I was reading a story, a real story that, I saw in this book by James Dobson. He wrote a book, When God Doesn't Make Sense. A beautiful story about a young couple. And I was reading this story and I thought I would share this with you. And I want you to take a moment to reflect about this story. A young pastor by the name of Cliff, right? He married Billy. And so they were just newly married and they wanted to go for a honeymoon. It happened in the year 1945. Young associate pastor probably... it's not easy for him to have the funds because I think the church was not really paying well. So they somehow had some savings here and there, and they told him, at least let's go and have a honeymoon, let's spend with the limited money that we have, right? Probably it's going to be not a 3-star hotel, but at least a 2-star kind of a hotel. Right? And so they somehow wanted to be away. That's wonderful of him, right? And his wife to be away. And so they went for honeymoon, and they went to this particular hotel. And when they arrived at the hotel, they were told that it is no more an hotel, but it is a rehabilitation center. Can you imagine? You're bringing your wife or your spouse is with you, and you're so excited. I have limited funds, but I'm able to make this trip. And there you come to this place, probably at middle, you take the flight, you come, and then the guy says, this is it's no more a hotel, it's a rehabilitation center. And so, and the story goes on, this pastor, what happened, I think, he he just hitchhiked to a nearby grocery store several miles away. And so when in the course of conversation, he told the owner of the grocery store, saying that, this happened. He was not complaining. He was just explaining the situation. And the grocery store man was so kind to him and said, Ari will, I'll give you a place to stay. But then when he realized that these people were Christians, right, he said, I have a Christian friend who might be able to help you. It's a true story. And he contacted the Christian friend. The Christian friend said, no problem, no, they can come and stay with me. So they went and they stayed. When they were staying there, during that week, what was happening? There was a youth rally that was happening nearby at the Christian center. So it was so unfortunate, I do not know whether that's the right word to use. The worship leader for that youth conference was ill, was sick. And so the person who was staying with him said, you are a youth pastor, right? Or associate pastor, you know some music. Why didn't you come, come and help the conference? So this guy and his wife very happily said, no problem, even though it's our honeymoon, we'll still help, right? They were able to adjust their schedule and they said, okay, let's go and help. He played, he helped in the worship. And interestingly, the speaker for the conference was Billy Graham. Right, and Billy Graham was also almost like starting his ministry. I think what happened after that, they became ministry partners, ministry team. And Cliff and his wife became part of the ministry team of Billy Graham. When I was reading the story, I realized from James Dobson, and he was writing, Cliff and his wife, Billy, they were not discouraged. Even though he was coming as a pastor, he was not discouraged, right? And even in his honeymoon, he was willing to give his time, their time, right, to help in the worship ministry that was happening. But then what happened, I think, God used him tremendously. He was not discouraged. He was just faithful to wherever God wanted him to be. He served God. And, it became his history, right? He was always there with Billy Graham, being part of the worship team. And so, can you imagine, right? If you would have, questioned God and all that, probably we've not read about him. But I think because he was willing, right, and just faithful to God, and he knew that, God will somehow help him out in all these things. And so, my friends, I think it's important for us as Christians, right? The kind of decisions that we make, because it impacts us. It impacts our future. And so, in difficult situations, where do you run to? It's easy for us to take the world's route, because that's the way many. But I think it's important for us to seek godly advice. Right? Easy for us to go for human comfort. But whether is that God's plan, right? And let me tell you, only God is able to help us. Let's pray. When I was reading this passage, I was just reminded, Paul standing and saying, my friends, you have listened to my word earlier. All this would have not happened. When I hear Paul's word, I also realize, I believe that's the same word the Holy Spirit of God is telling us. My child, you have listen to my voice. All this would have not happened. What a wonderful God that we have, that He is always there for us, to walk along with us. His presence is always there. When Paul was going through difficult time together with these people, I believe the presence of God was just comforting Paul and reassuring Paul again and again. And we realize it's only God who's able to help, my friend. It's easy for us to please the crowd and just follow the crowd. When you're in a difficult situation, where do you run to? Do you run to godly friends or just to friends? Father, we come into your presence, O God. We thank you that we can always call upon your name, Father. Not only in our joyful moment, but even in our difficult moments of life, Father. We thank you, Lord, your presence is always available, O God. You are there to help us. Help us, O Lord, to call upon your name. Help us to know, Lord, that we cannot live this life without God. We need you, Father. When we have you, God, whatever storms that we have, we can smile. But when we don't lean to your word, of God, there is fear, there is dismay, there is no hope at all. And so, Lord, help us. Help us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.